Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday. Happy Hump Day. Day after Hump Day. We're almost through the week. Almost to the weekend. Hello, everybody.
Would you say the day after Hump Day?
Yeah, isn't Wednesday hump day? You know, hump day.
Oh, that's right. I like that camel that goes around in the commercials.
Yes, that's right. That is right. That is correct.
Hump day.
There it is.
Wow. I like it. I like a camel.
Peak broness just now, dude.
No, that was the camel. That wasn't a bro.
I know. I love it. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for asking. I have seen so much theater as
you have.
I am determined, folks. I am determined that I will see every show that's opened on Broadway in the 2018-2019 season. I have missed one so far, Mr.
Right, you've
Thomas.
Missed only one, yes. Yeah, so which one was that again?
Straight White Men.
Oh, that's too bad.
Two of those things I am not interested in. But the man!
But we saw Thank a show you. Together, actually.
We did on Sunday. Tell everybody what we saw.
We saw Be More Chill. Come on. Come on. Oh, man.
Michael in the bathroom. I can't sing like
That's
George.
Good. You're no George Salazar.
I love George Salazar so much. I can't even.
At a love fest afterwards.
Can I tell everybody a quick story about George?
We would love to hear a quick story about George.
So if you don't know George, George is the sensation that's come out of Be More Chill. He sings the big song, Michael in the Bathroom.
Right.
I first met George when I moved to the city, and George was like, I had him in a concert of 54. He was one of the funniest guys I ever met in my life. And I was like, this guy's going places. This guy's going big places. Flash forward like a year later, I'm at the Snapple Center where Forbidden
when it was
where,
called Snapple Center. Yeah.
Where the Fantastics is playing.
Yeah, right? You were.
And, Perfect Crime, you know, Perfect Crime, right? Where the woman,
It's like the longest running show.
Has played
Broadway,
the role for
Rob.
30 years, and
that lady's been doing it. Yes, of course.
She literally sells you the ticket. Then she gets you in the theater. She closes the doors, and then you see her on stage as the lead.
Yeah, she not only sells you the ticket, she rips your ticket at the door. She shows you to your seat. She asks if you want any popcorn.
I kind of love it.
She says, Gary Busey's in the show tonight, and I will be on stage in 5 minutes. And then, yes, you're right. She goes on stage.
And then Catherine Russell, and she's a genius, and she's up
and there.
And there
she is.
Her best
it's
life.
Brilliant. It's amazing.
I wonder.
Yeah,
if,
so keep going.
I'm curious if she ever, like, forgets her lines at any point.
Or which character she's playing.
Yeah. They should do that show in rep with something else just to spice it up for her. So anyway, so I go to the Fantastics, and I see George there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, George, how have you been? I haven't seen you in a while. Like, what you up to? And he's like, oh, I'm here now. I'm like, oh my God, you're in the Fantastics? And he goes, no, I'm here now. And I swear to you, he pulls out a rag and he starts wiping the bar down.
No.
And he goes, I work the bar and I clean up here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, good for you, George.
Foot and mouth.
And he's like cleaning the bar and he's like, yeah, he goes, it's fine. He's like, you know, I'm just waiting for the next thing to come in. And then to jump forward from him cleaning that bar to he is now the biggest sensation on Broadway right now. It just makes me so happy because he is the nicest human being you'd ever want to meet in your life. And I love the fact that so many young people are looking to him as a role model. And it's such a good role model to have because as talented as he is, he's just as nice of a guy off stage.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
So I just wanted to, and I love that story about like, because that's kind of like the business. Like,
that is show business. I mean, like, that's
they're
exactly
literally
right.
Mopping the bar from like the sticky bar and selling and Reese's Pieces to he's the Broadway's next hot thing.
Well, and you're always one audition away from the next big thing. Yeah, yes. It's an incredible part of our business that's exciting and a little scary as well.
So that's what makes me excited about George. So anyway, I apologize. We saw Be More Chill.
No, it's great. Yeah, and it was so energetic, so exciting. We had wonderful seats, and it was a great time. And I was really impressed with the performances.
Yeah, it was. Well, first of all, I know who you liked because I loved her.
The minute Stephanie Sue came out on stage, I think everyone around me were in our area of the orchestra was mad because I could not stop laughing. I couldn't stop laughing at her. She's so freaking funny, Rob.
Stephanie Sue plays the young love interest in the show. I'm so sorry. Please forgive my ignorance. I didn't know who she was before this. I know who she is now. She is so funny in this thing. So funny in this thing. I cannot get over it.
The humor and the physical comedy too. Like her.
Oh, yes.
She's a goofball. She's a total goofball. And I was so taken by her. I thought she was just fantastic.
She sings this. If you listen to the album, she sings the song, I Love Play Rehearsal. She is very funny, but I have to be honest with you. As funny as she is on the album, you just have to see what she does. Cause it
I had
is
no idea if you like that.
Golden. Yeah. And I will say, yes, I must say folks, I went in very, very condescendingly and was like, I see all these kids around me and they're going to talk and yell and scream and obnoxiously laugh. And there was no talking. They were all very polite. I didn't see phones going off. I only had one obnoxious laugher and he was sitting to my right. And he was disturbing everyone. And it just happens to be my co-host, Kevin David Thomas, could not stop laughing, full voice. And Kevin has one of these laughs. It's awesome. He like rocks the whole seat as he laughs.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It was amazing.
I was trying to contain it because I knew that I don't know what it was, like something about her. It just got me. And it was my comedy. And clearly it was not exactly all the other people around me who were looking at me, but
a millennial shot Kevin a dirty look for ruining their Be More Chill experience.
and then the same thing happened when I saw Oklahoma the other night, like the first preview. And there was this couple in front of me and they were younger. I would say they're like 29, 30. And they were so mad at Carl and I for laughing. And there were funny moments, but I think that they really hated the show. So they were like mad that anyone would get anything out of it. And I was like, and then it makes me want to laugh more. Cause then it's like the older brother in me is kind of like, well, fine then, it's my right. I'm going to laugh even louder. Then I did not act that way. Be More Chill. Cause I was trying to not disturb the people's experiences around me, but
you were good and Be More Chill. But it was so nice to see this phenomenon that everybody's been talking about.
Yes, it was.
And it's exciting to see what Joe Iconis is going to do next.
Yes.
So we'll see there. We got a little backstage tour.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah, that was really cool.
It was very cool. So
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, no matter what, Rob, like when I'm waiting at the theater, when I meet you to go into the theater, I always get butterflies to go into that theater. I always get so excited. And then to go backstage there, you just feel like you're walking through a magical portal into this amazing world. Even when I was in shows on Broadway, every day that I went through that stage door, it felt magical. And as an audience member, it's even more so because you're a guest in this place and you're consciously aware of the fact that you're on a Broadway stage and how just captivating and magical that is. That yeah. of all the things, and especially in the Lyceum Theater, that's the oldest theater on Broadway, or one of the oldest, except for the Hudson now. But it's so historical that all the people that, yeah, I don't know. It was fun. That was really cool.
That we yeah, that never goes together. Away, does it?
Oh, I hope not. I hope it never
does. Do you have a favorite theater? Like a theater that you go into and you're like, oh my God, this is so magical.
I believe I think it's the Belasco Theater is the one yeah. that's all that wood panel everywhere.
Yeah. And it's haunted, right?
Well, if you, but yeah, you have to believe in ghosts in order to see ghosts.
Do you not believe in ghosts?
No, Rob, I don't believe in ghosts. And it's just much like my disdain for dogs that people are just so horrible and seafood. People just don't know how I can, but hey, I believe that
wait a minute, I know I just
I covered like a lot of things and I'm gonna sequitur I mean segue into something else because people can't believe that I love Yanni, and guess what, Rob, Yanni is coming to Broadway. I'm as soon as we get off this interview, I'm buying one seat for myself. I was like, Sutton, I'm sorry, you don't understand, I know that you're gonna give birth in a week and a half on the 9th, but I on May 28th I am buying a ticket to see Yanni for this first pre, because he's only got 5 or 6 performances, and it's going to be at the L'Enfantin Theater, and I will be buying a ticket. So
wait,
yes,
wait a minute, I
just gave you guys a lot of stuff. I think. Sorry,
there's so much I need to cover. Wait a minute. So you don't like seafood?
I hate seafood.
And if you do like that thing, dogs.
I don't care for dogs.
You don't believe in ghosts.
Anyone who follows my Insta story knows that I'm in love with the neighborhood cat Ava Spider, and she's my girlfriend.
And 10 days. Or so before your wife is about to give birth to your first child.
That is correct.
You are buying tickets.
One ticket. I'm not gonna make anybody else sit there with me, because no one in my life would ever want to sit at a Yanni concert with me. But anyone that knows me knows that that is like a Yanni and Broadway together. That is like I don't even know what to do with that. I cannot wait to be there. And I just had to decide. How much can I spend on this ticket? And it's pre-sale, so I have the pre-sale code because I'm a Yanni fan and I get the emails from them. So so I can't believe I'm telling everybody this.
Ten days before his wife gives birth to his first child.
She won't do it that night.
Are you naming the child Yanni?
You shut your face. Absolutely not. I would never do that to a child. No.
Yanni David Thomas?
No, how dare you?
You do love Yanni. This is a running thing for Kevin. Oh, Kevin loves Yanni.
And I know that I get poked fun at. I get made fun of. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care at all. I'm proud. Let my freak flag fly. I'm flying it. Woohoo! Here it is.
Do you see me judging you? I'm not judging you.
I know.
I want everyone to understand.
Just everyone
this.
Who's listening. Right,
I want to be clear. I am not judging Kevin based on his love of Yanni. I'm judging Kevin that while his wife is giving birth, he's sitting there drinking out of a Yanni sippy cup, smiling.
I hope they have like swag. I hope because Oklahoma, they didn't have the sippy cups of Oklahoma on it. So like, I wonder if for that 5 performances, will it say Yanni or will it just be like Jew Jamson? You know, then I don't want that. I don't want that.
I have to tell you a story about do you collect the sippy cups? Like when you buy?
No, absolutely. No.
Okay.
I am not a clutter. I cannot stand clutter. And even like with coffee mugs, it's like, do we really need this mug from this one thing that happened, you know, 10 years ago when I was in Boy Scouts? Like it, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. No, get rid of it. Like, and those sippy cups are stupid. Like no one drinks out of them at home.
Wait, I have to tell you something. Do you know Kevin and I have a mutual friend named Catherine Deleuze, who was our choreographer for Merrily We Roll Along. Right? Remember Catherine? Not only collects those cups, she doesn't want to buy the cup for herself. So when I went to see Iceman with her. This is a true story. I went to see Iceman Cometh with her. And throughout the show, she keeps like checking things. I'm like, what is she looking at? And finally, I'm like, what are you looking at? She goes, well, that person. She goes, they had a sippy cup that says Iceman on it and they're done drinking it. And then they put it under their seat. So she goes, I have to get that after the show. And as soon as the show was over, while everybody was like walking towards the exit, she's like a fish swimming upstream to get the cup. And then the cup didn't say Iceman. It said Jamson on it. She got angry, so she threw the cup back down. And then luckily she found another cup. So people love those cups.
That is some real collector. That's collectorship right there. Yeah, that is right there. Oh, my gosh.
I have one friend who anytime he sees a show, he always buys a magnet.
Yeah, I do that when I travel places. I'll buy a magnet. I think that's a thing to collect. That's fine.
I just saved the playbill. Like, I just saved the playbill.
I always save them.
But yeah, I've seen, okay. So you saw Be More Chill. You saw, I saw Be More Chill in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, I saw the first preview, and I was. I'm still feeling it. I'm still processing what I saw 2 days ago. It really left me hollow on the inside. I love the orchestrations. I thought the performances were out of this world. I think it's going to be polarizing. I think people are either going to love it or they're going to hate it. Because it's not your grandma's Oklahoma. And I do think that we're musical theater has reached a point now where it's been here long enough that people are going to start doing stuff to the shows. You know, you're going to, but maybe what Ivo Van Hove, what's he going to do with West Side Story? You know, and I think we're allowed to reevaluate these and try to get, cause I heard lyrics and I heard lines of dialogue in ways that I had never heard them before. And so I think that's valid. I still want to be able to go see though a regular Oklahoma at some point. You know what I mean? Sure. I think there a world exists so that we can have both of them, but this was a very, it'll be divisive. And it was really something incredible, I thought. But
I don't know that much about the Ivo Van Hove West Side Story, but this is allegedly in auditions, he kept asking people, why do they have to sing so much?
Because it's a musical?
This is allegedly. And then allegedly, okay, he gave a direction on tonight. Can you guys talk this more? I'm not joking. Oh, that's fun. This comes from a very good source. So I'm not, I don't think it's a.
All right.
It's a bit. I saw, since the last time we were all together, I saw Gary, sequel to Titus Andronicus, starring Nathan Lane.
Okay.
And new cast members, because, you know, Andrea Martin broke her ribs.
Four ribs.
And they bumped Krista Nielsen up to her part, and they brought in Julie White to play Krista Nielsen's part. They had only had a couple of days rehearsal, and they were already in fantastic shape. So I'm interested to see what the critics are going to say. It's Nathan Lane clowning, which we haven't seen in a really long time.
Right.
Like full-on clowning, so we're excited. Yeah. I saw Hillary and Clinton. Laurie Metcalf, God bless. I saw the first preview of that.
Wow.
With John Lithgow. They make a great team.
It's fantastic.
It's very interesting. I was sitting next to Democrats and Republicans. All the play, I will say, is very fair to both sides.
Oh, it is. Okay. It's not. Okay.
No, it's very fair to both sides. And I think it's actually a really smart way of looking at her as an individual.
Okay.
I think it's done very nicely and done very fairly.
Is it, I mean, obviously they can't, you know, they're creating dialogue for them in a private place, but is it based on fact? Is it taken from historical,
the only facts is that it's the New Hampshire primary in 2008 and she's won the primary, and those are the facts.
Okay.
And then, like, Bill Clinton makes a comment about Barack Obama that he actually did at the time, and that sort of spurns some conflict. But the one thing I hope this isn't a spoiler alert. What I love about this play is they make no attempt physically or vocally to sound like Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just them talking as real, and you just buy into the concept that this is them.
Right. An audience can handle that.
Audiences can handle it. I loved it. I had a good time. So I saw that. I saw Be More Chill. I caught up on my theater.
Proud of you. So impressed.
And I cannot wait because now I want, when we do our Tony show, now I'll actually be able to be like, I've seen some of these things.
You always do. It's me who's always like, go come back to me later.
But God bless TDF.
I know. There's been so much stuff on there. It's great.
Has been helpful. And big thanks to Keith Sherman and Associates who were able to get us into Be More Chill. We appreciate that immensely. Mm-hmm. It was so cool to see that phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to see kids in the theater. Anytime anyone picks at it, because lots of people pick at it, my feeling is it's getting a new generation into the theater. So what the hell is the problem? Much like when people used to shit on Disney. It's getting a new generation into the theater. So what is your problem? Thank you.
Praise Robert. Thank you. Good job, sir.
Hallelujah.
All right. I think it's time to go to favorite things.
Ooh. Who should go first?
I'll go first.
Oh, good.
So mine is – this is interesting. And I have to – I'm just – an album was recommended to me, and I was completely – completely taken by it. And it came out, oh gosh, earlier this year, February 2019. I would consider it a jazz album. And it's by a French chanteuse of the jazz, you know, but she lives in New York. I think she lives here now. She sings in English and in French. And this is an album of all Sondheim music. Her name is Cyrille, C-Y-R-I-L-L-E, Amy, A-I-M-E-E, with an accent on the first E. Cyrille Amy. I could say in French, Cyrille Amy. And she is this incredible jazz singer that is a kind of a mix between Sarah Vaughan. Well, an article I read said Michael Jackson and Sarah Vaughan, but I don't want to use that because we can't use it anymore. Sarah Vaughan and I don't know, but she's very, very rooted in the traditional jazz form. But the album is called Move On, A Sondheim Adventure. I you just have to listen to it. And my Sondheim fans and people who are Sondheim freaks will appreciate it, I hope. You will hear different arrangements of everything, but I found the arrangements that she had a hand in to be just utterly captivating and elevates these songs in a way. Because let's be real, Sondheim songs are very, very specific. They're often very hard to do out of context because they are so intertwined with the story that the music and the lyrics are hard to lift out of the story to create sort of like your world or palette of its own. So they're, you know, it's just hard to sing them out of context.
I'm reading about it now.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And so she did. She sang all these songs. And I'll give you an idea of some of the songs that she sang. But each song has their own arrangement. But what I have to tell you, listeners, is you get a sense of her communicating these songs. She is acting the lyric. She's acting the song. She has a point of view. It's not just creating a beautiful sound, which she does. But she gives you an entire feeling through the music and the poetry. So some of the examples of the songs, Take Me to the World, which is like it's just a straight up good old-fashioned jazz song with a very light percussion bass, and she does like a little scatting at the end. She sings Love I Hear as this sultry, smooth love ballad with like a bass playing, and it's just, and you hear these lyrics, and she sings all of the notes the way you're supposed to sing them, and all the lyrics the way that they're written. And yet you hear they have like this whole new light to them. One of my favorite Sondheim songs of all time is So Many People, and it's sung as this up-tempo, almost
me
like
too.
It's my favorite lyric. I love that song so much. It is so deep and so perfect to me. And it's sung as like this sort of like Spanish guitar driving, you know, up tempo. Being Alive is like this sort of big band bossa nova sound. No One Is Alone is a very, very simple, plain love song in two, like a gospel, like doom, ka-chunk, da. Like a 6/8. One More Kiss, she sings in French. So it's like a Edith Piaf, like French, like, you know,
oh, wow.
Song. Anyway, so the acting is sublime. The arrangements are just incredible, these arrangements. And then the best part of this whole thing, and I have to credit, of course, once again, Kevin Daly, our friend and listener, for pointing me on to this. But he was like, Kevin, did you see her Instagram? And I was like, Kevin, what you talking about, buddy? So he sends me over to her Instagram, and you, for listeners, go check her out, Cyrille Amy. But you go to her Instagram, and if you scroll up a little bit, you'll see that she had a concert at Birdland a couple months ago. And at this concert that she had at Birdland, in the front row sat one Stephen Sondheim. And she has a picture of her with Stephen Sondheim posted from, let's see here, February 28th. And it says, after writing the lyrics to West Side Story when he was 26 years old, Stephen Sondheim swore he would never take on another job where he was only to write the lyrics. He wanted to be considered a composer as well as a lyricist, which we all know this. Well, last night, 88-year-old Sondheim came to my show at Birdland Jazz Club, sat in the front row, and had a ball. We spoke for an hour afterwards, and with tears in his eyes, he took my hands and said, "You made me feel like a composer for the first time in my life." I mean, that's
oh, wow.
Not hyperbole. This album, that's the first, I mean, when I was listening to this album, I thought, I wonder what Sondheim thinks. I wonder if he approves of this or endorses this, because to me, this is lifting his music to just another level. It's a sidetrack, but it is so beautiful and so eloquent and original. You know, it's very original, even though it's all based on. And to know that he endorsed it that way makes sense to me. It just makes sense. And so I listeners, check this album out. It's called Move On, a Sondheim adventure by Cyril Amy. She's very, very special. And listen to her other stuff, too, because she's quite an incredible instrument and a great arranger as well. So,
oh, my God. I'm going to listen to it as soon as I get off of here.
That's my favorite thing. It's great. That's great. It's great. It's great.
I was looking at her website. Apparently, she's going to be in New York on the 30th.
Yes.
So. Maybe if you don't spend all the money on the Yanni tickets, you can go see her. Throwing that out there as an idea.
Thank you, pal.
That's great. My God, I can't wait to listen. What a compliment from Stephen Sondheim.
Right? Right?
You think of all the people who have sung his music, and she's the one he's saying, "You make me feel like a composer."
Oh, yeah. It's really special.
I could retire after that. Right. I'd be like, I'm done.
I'd say if I'm a little new to the musical theater world, getting that endorsement alone would make me feel like, okay, I think I belong here. This is good. This makes sense. So yeah, I would like to see her in concert because I watched her videos on YouTube and she's just, it's a really fascinating instrument and she emotes so beautifully that it does make sense that she would sing this kind of music because she is such a communicator with the way she sings that, it's a nice marriage of sound.
Oh, I know what rabbit hole I'm going to go down.
There you go.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
All right, what you got for me?
Well, I hope you go down this rabbit hole, too. I'm going to give you, because we haven't done one of these in a while, I'm going to give you a musical, an off-Broadway musical.
Okay. Okay.
That was in the early 90s.
Okay.
It's a parody musical. It's parodies such things as All About Eve and The Bad Seed. And also pokes fun at such musicals as Gypsy and Mame. It's about a little 8-year-old girl
who will Ruthless.
Yes, who will do anything to play the lead in her school play.
Folks, Marvin Laird, yeah.
Marvin Laird and Joel Paley. The musical is Ruthless.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you why I'm talking about it today. So we have a listener, Adam Ellsbury, who is one of the nice listeners who reached out to us and was like, hey, I love the show. So I said, oh, great, we should get together. Lives in the area. And so he was like, oh, my God, I have all these bootlegs. We're not encouraging bootlegs. We're not encouraging bootlegs, but we're encouraging bootlegs. And has a full bootleg of the original Los Angeles production of Ruthless that he showed me. I have not laughed so hard in such a long time. I forgot how funny Ruthless is. So, folks, Ruthless was an off-Broadway musical, once again, by Marvin Laird, who we best know as...
Well, I think of him as a music director for Bernadette Peters.
Exactly. He's Bernadette Peters' music director and a guy named Joel Paley. And it opened at the Players Theater in 1992. It played a nice, like, almost like 400 performances. And the original of – okay, so the story is – it's a spoof. It is – I'm so excited. It made me laugh so hard. It's a parody. It is the story of a young girl named Tina Denmark who's 8 years old who wants to be a star. Her mom is, like, from the 1950s and is, like, very Stepford Wives and doesn't want that to happen. When an agent shows up – played by a drag queen.
Yep.
Originally created by Joel Vig. Originally, this role was supposed to be played by a woman because the whole cast is female. But they were like, Joel Vig gave the funniest performance, so they just gave it to him. So now it's traditionally always a man in drag who comes in and knows Tina's going to be a star and wants her to be a star. And what's her opportunity going to be? The third grade class is doing Pippi in Tahiti, a musical. And she will give, she will play the leading role in that, but that doesn't happen because Louise Lerman beats her out for the role.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina is relegated to the small, tiny role of Puddles, Pippi's dog. So what does Tina do? Like any normal girl, she strangles Louise with a jump rope.
Yep.
And hangs her from the catwalk. And it has one of the funniest lines in it. There's a radio announcement announcing her death. They're unsure what Louise Lerman was even doing on the catwalk, considering she's not part of the union. Like, it's so there's so many, like...
There's, like, layered...
inside jokes there where you're like, huh.
Wow.
The rivals are Tina and Louise, like Tina Louise, yes, from Gilligan's Island. So that automatically gets me. There's so many jokes about gypsies. Mama. What you find out is that Tina's mom, who was like this really bland woman, was actually the love child of a woman named Ruth, who was this great Broadway musical theater actress. And Tina's mother is just as brilliant of a star and then like pushes her daughter aside and then becomes a star herself. It makes fun of everything. All About Eve, The Bad Seed, Mame, Gypsy. It is like camp upon camp upon camp. The original cast, who played Tina originally? Laura Bell Bundy. And who were some of her understudies that went on at certain points?
Famously.
One was Natalie Portman.
Right. But
the most famous one is, oops, did it again, yep, Britney Spears.
Right. Broadway's favorite, who will be coming back to Broadway next year.
Yes.
Britney Spears was in it.
And the brilliant Donna English played, for all the Forbidden Broadway stuff, played her mom, Tina. You can go online and you can look at like YouTube clips of the original, but you have to take a look at the Los Angeles production if you can find it. There's a girl named Catherine Zaremba, not Karen Ziemba, Catherine Zaremba.
She was in Annie Warbucks.
She was in Annie Warbucks. Kevin, there's clips of her online. The clip they have of her is doing the show in concert when she was a little bit older, so she's taller. But when you see her do it originally and she's like literally like four, like this little 4 foot nugget, she is the funniest actress I've ever seen in my life. She's 4 years old and lands every laugh imaginable.
That's awesome.
But there's some cool clips online. Because Bernadette Peters is so close to Marvin Laird, they did a concert version in LA where Bernadette Peters played the mom. And so all of these clips of her are on there with this girl, Catherine Zaremba, who's amazing. Go listen to the cast recording. If you want to actually see the show, because the book is hysterical, Broadway HD filmed the London production that came out recently. So you can actually see it in all of its campy goodness. But we haven't done an off-Broadway musical in a long time.
And it was done like off-Broadway recently, a couple years ago. It was like running in like rep. It was like, you know, like every week or something. It was at like the Triad or something, wasn't it?
It was at St. Luke's, where like you come in once a week and you do it.
Yeah.
That and Tony and Tina's Wedding, mm-hmm, which I never saw, but kind of feels like right up my alley.
I think you would have loved Tony and Tina's Wedding, Rob. I think you would have like hate loved it. Like you would have hated how much you loved it. Yeah.
You get to eat at the wedding.
Good.
So Ruthless is one of the shows. I'm sorry. It's like campy gay fun.
There's a cast album of it too.
There is a wonderful cast album from the New York production. I'm so sorry, Kevin. You're right. It was at the Triad. I apologize. It was at the Triad and then it went to St. Luke's.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm so sorry. But it's a great, great cast album. Take a listen to it. The show is hysterical. If you're looking for a show to do for like your community theater or you've got a smaller theater, you want to take a look at this. It is hysterical. And it's only like two sets. Nice and easy.
We love that.
Love it. Nice and cheap.
Sorry for that money.
And a great role for me as Sylvia, the drag
character. I can't wait to see you in that.
So please,
it's gonna be fantastic.
Hire me. I'm ready. I'm available. Oh my God. And if you can see footage from the LA production, Bob Mackie did the costumes. The costumes are hysterical.
Wow.
Absolutely hysterical. So mine is Ruthless. And I was kind of surprised that we had never covered it at some point.
Yeah, but no, that's a good one.
Ruthless by Marvin Laird and Joel Paley. I think you'll laugh if you don't know the references. You'll laugh even more if you know the references, which is such an obvious statement to make, but good to know. And but take a look at, and take a look at Broadway HD if you want to see it in full force.
Oh, right. Okay, good. It's on Broadway HD. Yeah. Nice.
So this was, ooh, this was good.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Ruthless.
Go listen to Cyril Amy, Move On, a Sondheim adventure as well.
I wonder if she'll sing I Hate Musicals from Ruthless as part of her as part of her rep.
That's a good song. The score is really fun from Ruthless. It's very he writes really complex music. I remember playing those songs, and they are not easy. Like they are fun to play.
No, they are very fun. I Hate Musicals is probably the big song that everybody knows from it, right?
I think so. Right. There's another one that she sings. The little girl has all the fun. I mean, has a lot.
Little
of
the girl.
Mom, the
oh
mom
God.
Has another great 11 o'clock number as well. I can't remember all of them, but they were fun.
Then there's a song that called A Penthouse Apartment that the All About Eve character sings, mm-hmm. which is really funny. So it's great. And it won the Drama Desk Award for Best Off-Broadway Musical. Oh, sorry, I apologize. It won the Out of Critics Circle Award for Best Off-Broadway Musical. It's nice. Funny. It's just really, really funny. And if you can watch Bernadette do some of it, it also reminds you how funny she is.
She is so funny.
Could people truly forget that?
Yeah.
But she's funny. That's why I was so happy to see her in Carol Burnett and Hello, Dolly, because you got to actually see her be funny again.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
Ooh. That was my Bernadette. I hope you liked it. Was she awesome to work with?
She was utterly, like, completely professional. She was so professional. And so, she was wonderful. She found more laughs in Little Night Music and added much more time to the show. So that was good.
Was it her or was it Stritch trying to remember her
first
word?
It was both. Well, there was that too. It was definitely, I'd say it was 80-20 Stritch, 80. Bernie,
Grandma?
20.
Why does the sky smile?
She's like, it smiles three times. Don't give it to me.
That I was there for that performance. That made me so happy. Don't give it to me. You're like, we won't. We won't. Raisins.
Okay.
What's wrong with raisins?
Wait.
Can't have raisins. I'm diabetic.
Just going into the orchestra, just vamping.
That poor orchestra.
Well, no, they hired her music director, Rob Bowman, for her. So we had a music director leave, and he was hired because Sondheim knew that he could handle her. And that's why we had Rob as our MD. So she felt safer. And so, yeah, we had to turn off the monitor during liaisons because it was so awkward because you never knew when she was going to go up every night. And it's just, you know, when you're used to the show running a certain way and someone goes up on a lyric, it makes your heart stop a little bit. And it just got to a point where we had to turn down the monitor because it just, ooh.
You might know the answer to this. You probably do. Wasn't there supposed to be a third couple, a third pair that would go in after them? It was like, Catherine and Angela opened it, then Elaine and Bernadette. Wasn't there supposed to be like another pairing that was going to go in?
It was actually supposed to. The story is, and this is true because I was there, we were supposed to close. We had our closing notice because they couldn't find anybody to replace Catherine. There had been talks of the biggest name or the biggest one that we almost got was Deborah Messing was supposed to do it. And then Brooke Shields also was looking at it. And we had Lauren Bacall came backstage twice because she was going to take over for Angela. But the problem was she had just had hip surgery and the tract required Madame Armfelt to come up and downstairs to get to the dressing room. And Bacall couldn't do stairs. So when they ran
out
of them,
couldn't they give her a dressing room on the ground floor?
It was, but the ground floor, there was no crossover on the stage.
Oh.
So the only crossover was you had to go downstairs to go to stage right, and one of our entrances was stage right. And they maybe would have tried to make it work, but it just didn't happen. And then so we had our closing notice because they couldn't find a couple. And then Sondheim was talking to Bernadette and on the phone, and he was like, I can't believe the show's closing. This is awful. And Bernadette was like, that's my dream role. No one asked me. And the thing was that on paper, they wanted Desiree to be like in her 40s, like the real age that Desiree would be in the turn of the century of having a 14-year-old daughter, which if she had her when she was 35, like 30 or 35, like, you know, Catherine was, you know, the right age for it. So Bernadette was 64. So that like on paper, they were like, Trevor didn't think that she would be the right, you know, type. And then when Bernadette was like, I'll do the show, they were like, they took down the closing notice. They got stretched right away. And then they were in it for 6 months. And there was very little rumor of couples after them because they realized they could barely keep the show open for 6 months. So there was very, it was, I don't think we were, the window that most, that we were supposed to get people was between those two. But
got it. But Lauren, like Lauren Bacall and Deborah Messing as
that was, yeah. And they were, yeah, they were really, yeah. And, but, oh my God, when Bacall, I'm the first time I saw her, she was going to meet Angela and she was like there in her glory. And Hunter, the guy who played Henrik, says to her, he's like, oh, cause this is the second time she came to see the show. And he's like, oh, you came back to the theater. And Bacall, this is classic Bacall. I barely know her. Not at all. We just hear rumors from our stories with people like Leroy. She was like, my darling, I never left the theater. And then walks into Angela's dressing room. And I was like, yep. There it is. That's a legend right there. That is what a legend says. I never left the theater.
She'd be great for that role.
Right? Oh, well.
Better than... Elaine Stritch was a marvelous. But Lauren Bacall feels more in line with like...
Oh, Bacall was...
Because Madame... I mean, no offense. Madame Armfelt to me is supposed to be... She's classy. Elaine Stritch looked like the barmaid who would like... I'm sorry. That's what... You know, that energy that she gives off.
You're
like,
right.
Is like, right. You want another? Have a beer out of the bottle.
Oh, yeah, I had that guy. Yeah.
Smoke him if you got him.
Or Angela was slightly miscast as well, but she was more of like the quiet, conservative like lady that you're like, oh, what is she? She has these liaisons? Oh, okay.
The one thing I just didn't like about Angela's performance was like every couple of lines she would like stand up and go, I know who did it. And they were like, it's not,
you stop it.
It's not Murder, She Wrote, Miss Lansbury. She goes, I'm sorry, force of habit.
Thank you, Rob.
Grandma, why does it smile? Call Seth. He knows what's happening at Cabot Cove.
Oh, gosh. The sexist doctor.
Mama, your daughter is coming back. Has she been accused of murder? All my relatives are accused of murder. There was a bloody, bloody...
No, I thank
whatever,
you.
Whatever you're working on, what's it called? Bloody, bloody.
Bloody, 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 bloody Jessica Fletcher. That's right.
I gave money to that thing.
Oh.
They gave me an armband, a wristband.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I love it. That's a funny show.
Yeah, they're That's working on it. They just show. Worked on it last week. They're really, they're...
Good.
Retooling it, and we'll see what happens with that.
Let me know when there's another like reading or workshop. I'd love to come see it.
Of course.
Cool. Awesome. Well,
all right.
Take
this is
care
the longest episode ever.
Sorry. No, you know why it's long, Kevin? Because we were talking a long time before this. Kevin and I had a private Kiki.
Yeah.
And then we had to get onto the episode. But Kiki made it feel longer.
That was fun. That was fun, though.
All right. Good. Enjoy Yanni.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Be more Yanni. Yanni Kong.
Oh, my gosh.
Kiss Me Yanni. Okla Yanni.
Oh, my gosh.
All the shows you're going to see.
Kara Yanni.
What was it, Carrie
Yanni? Oh, gosh. I'm so excited.
And the Yanni, which is what a little, the prom would have been.
Yes. A little night Yanni.
A little night Yanni. It's a good one. A chorus Yanni. A Yanni Sweet. Line.
Yanni Todd. Stupid.
The demon flautist of Fleet Street. What's it? What does he play, Yanni?
Merrily we roll a Yanni.
That's great. Yannily we roll along.
Yannily we roll along.
Thank you. Yeah. A funny thing happened on the way to the Yanni.
On the way to
Do
Yanni.
I hear a Yanni?
Do I hear a Yanni?
In rep with anyone can Yanni.
Mm-hmm.
And of course.
I married a Yanni.
I married a Yanni. On Encores this year,
yes,
you're
going
to get
right.
to see Call Me Yanni, I Married a Yanni, and Hi Button Yanni.
And maybe the new cast recording of Yanni for a New World.
Oh, I can't wait, everybody. What a season.
It's really good.
What a season. But,
I'll be there on the first night. Oh, my God. I'm out of here. All right. I'm out
Bye,
of here.
Yanni. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.